Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levin on the Leslie Marshall Network.
The Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levin, your host. Have you been to a restaurant lately? You probably have been. We all go to restaurants pretty often. I hope you tipped your server really well. Do you know how much your server makes an hour? If you live in my home state of Virginia, they make $2.13 an hour plus tips. That's the federal minimum. Now, you may know the federal minimum wage is $7.25 an hour, but if you're a waiter, or perhaps a porter, someone who works for tips in a hotel, whatever it is, you only have to make $2.13 an hour. That's not enough to pay for parking for an hour at your job, and probably not for a cup of coffee in the same restaurant in which you serve. It's not very much money. Now, supposedly, employers are required by law to make up the difference if your tips don't make up the difference. But how is a server to know if their tips make up the difference? They'd have to calculate every tip on every meal, add it to their wage, divide by the number of hours, and then very cautiously, very carefully ask their employer, the same person who gives them schedules, the same person who determines whether or not they get to be there at the popular times when a lot of tips are coming, very casually mention to your employer, hey, boss, it's against the law for you not to pay me more. Yeah, that might not get you the best shifts on your shift at your job. It's tough. The rate has been $2.13 for 24 years. It hasn't gone up since 1991. In 1991, it went up after being a decade at $2.01. Not that big an increase. There was a time when that rate was 60% and then 50% of the minimum wage. The minimum wage, which is way too low, still hasn't increased. As low as the minimum wage is, it has increased several times since 1991, but this tipped wage minimum has not. I've been talking with servers, and they tell me that in most restaurants they've worked in, and they told me this off the record, I certainly won't mention where they worked, but their employer doesn't always make up the difference, and it's really, really hard to ask. Now, why can't we improve this? Well, many states have. It should be noted that only about 18 states are at the bottom of the barrel, along with my home state of Virginia, most of them in the South, most of them those red states. Out west, in California, Nevada, Oregon, Washington, they pay servers the full minimum wage plus tips. And guess what? The business of restaurants is doing pretty well in California, in Nevada. You ever been to a restaurant in Las Vegas? It's not that expensive. The people who wait tables are paid well, and you get a good meal. What do they know in Las Vegas that we don't know in the rest of the country? Well, one thing they do know is how to treat their workers right. The states in the middle all charge something in the middle, and I think it's time we increase this wage. And the guest I'm going to have in just a few minutes, his name is David Cooper. He's the economic policy analyst for the Economic Policy Institute. He's done a paper on this and analyzed it, and analyzed the poverty rates, because people who work for tipped wages are unfortunately way more likely to fall into poverty than others, and far more likely to fall into poverty in states where you can imagine these wages, these hourly wages, are so low. But he's a former tipped employee himself. So not only is he the expert who knows all the facts, who knows all the economics, he knows the emotional pain of not knowing necessarily if you're going to be able to pay your rent. Think about it. If tips are big one month, great, you can pay your rent. If they're not big the next month, you may be kicked out of your apartment. It's a very, very tough job, even tougher in those states that don't pay their workers a decent wage. So we're looking forward to this conversation with David Cooper. Well, and, of course, if you want to call in and join the conversation, always, always welcome to join in at 888-653-7543. This is Mark Levin, and I'll be right back right after this.
Mm-hmm. bill comes at a restaurant, you have to figure out how much of a tip to leave the server, right?
Well, there's some restaurants are saying maybe not. They're saying they're going to do away with tipping, but of course they still want you to pay for the service. Channel 3's Lauren Leister explains.
At the New York restaurant Dirt Candy, people come for the vegetarian cuisine.
Questions about the menu so far?
But after questions about the food, chef owner Amanda Cohen says customers often have another.
They're like, so I don't have to tip? And we're like, you don't have to tip.
That's right. Cohen did away with tipping. Instead, she charges customers a 20% administrative fee.
I wanted to be able to pay everybody who works for me a living wage. The minimum is $15 an hour. That includes our dishwasher.
In order to spread pay more evenly, Cohen decided to collect and distribute all the money herself.
The eggplant is also really good.
Servers like Jane Brenlinger make up to $25 an hour.
Right now, I prefer the hourly. Just because you know how much you're going to get paid. It's a very fair wage.
Dirt Candy appears to be part of a growing trend of restaurants adopting no tipping policies.
Establishments in cities nationwide have made similar moves. Some add a service charge to the bill. Others, like Bar Marco in Pittsburgh, are raising prices and adjusting the menu to pay their employees more.
We're going to standardize their pay, so their pays will be the same every week.
Customers we met at Dirt Candy weren't complaining.
I'm fine with it. I actually like the predictability of it.
I think that everyone sort of wins.
Lauren Leister, CBS News, New York.
Going to your favorite restaurant might be getting more expensive, not because of rising food prices, but because gratuities are now being added to your bill at some restaurants. Terrell Brown joins us from Times Square, where the practice is becoming commonplace. Terrell, good morning.
Nora, good morning to you. There are dozens of restaurants here in Times Square. You probably won't have any trouble finding a place to eat, but the issue for some diners is when the check arrives and the tip is already included.
Tourists dining near New York's Times Square often look to experience something new, but are also faced with the very familiar. Applebee's, Olive Garden, and Red Lobster are all here, popular nationwide, and now join a number of restaurants named in a class action lawsuit over deceptive billing practices.
They want to squeeze that extra little dollar that they can out of everybody.
Evan Spencer is the lawyer who brought the complaint, which he amended this week to include damages totaling $5.5 billion. He argues a gratuity should never be included.
If you want to raise the prices, just raise the prices. They'll have an automatic gratuity included in the price, and then they'll have a line for an optional tip. But a tip and a gratuity are exactly the same thing.
Tipping, while customary, is not mandatory in New York City. And according to the Department of Consumer Affairs, restaurants can only include automatic gratuity charges for parties of eight or more. But when we sent two CBS News...
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine talking about how workers are only get paid $2.13 by the federal minimum standard if they get tipped wages. Now, as I said, most states actually have a higher wage. Not my home state, not Virginia, not 18 states, mostly in the South, where workers get $2.13 an hour plus tips. Now, the employer is supposed to make up the difference if the wage plus tips doesn't equal the minimum wage, but a bunch of servers I've talked to say that that doesn't necessarily happen. And if they do demand it, well, that employer might just send them to get the gum out from under the tables and not earn that much this year. The guest I have is actually from the third floor. I'm on the 10th floor, the Center for American Progress. And my guest, David Cooper, works for the Economic Policy Institute. Not only is he an economic expert, and by the way, David, I loved your article, and I read it in detail, and lots of very cool facts in there. I'm enough of a geek that I really enjoy all the statistics and stuff. But he's an ex-tipped employee himself, so... you're one of the few that made it out of that industry and into a nice academic profession. Congratulations to you.
Thank you. Yeah, I actually didn't have too bad of a time when I was working for tips. I mean, this was when I was in college, so it was a little easier for me. And I actually had pretty good employers. My employer was a good organization. They tried to do well by their employers, by their employees. But, you know, the truth is the regulations around this, the system is so messed up that it's actually even hard for employers sometimes to be in compliance with the system the way it is. We actually did an event with a restaurant owner a few months ago, and the restaurant owner said that if the Department of Labor were to come into his restaurant that day, he wouldn't know for sure if he was in compliance because the system is so messed up that, you know, some of his employees may not have been getting the wages that they were due, and he would have a hard time even knowing that.
Now, did you work in a state that has this bare $2.13?
So I worked in a state where the tip minimum wage, I think, was $2.35 an hour.
Oh,
so,
you were in the high price
yeah,
states.
Yeah, that's right.
You got 22 cents more an hour.
You folks
were spoiled,
yeah, that's
clearly.
Right.
You almost had enough to pay for a cup of coffee
yeah.
on your shift. Here's the question. You talked about the employers not – there was a Department of Labor – I guess a bust, you might call it, or where they went in undercover. And I forget, I read in your article how many tens of thousands, something like 40% of restaurants, is that right?
Oh, it's much
non-compliant?
Worse than that.
It's much worse than that.
So between 2010 and 2012, the Department of Labor did about 9,000 investigations in full-service restaurants. They found a violation rate of 84%.
84%?
Yeah, that's right. But to be clear...
Now, violation means they're not paying even the federal minimum, $7.25.
Well, not
or the
all,
state minimum.
Not all of those violations were for the violations of the tip minimum wage policy. It could have been violations related to just minimum wage generally of other workers in their businesses or wage theft where workers are working extra hours that they're not getting paid for.
That's still 84%.
But it's still really high. That's right. It just kind of shows the problems.
Five out of six restaurants
that's
we're
right.
going to. Now, what is the penalty
well,
for a restaurant that's not in compliance? Do they just pay the difference getting caught?
Well, they have to pay the back wages for sure, but then they're also penalized on top of that. And DOL recovered, I think, $5.5 million just for tipped infractions. So that kind of gives you a sense of how big of a problem this is. When we're talking about wages that are so low to begin with, if they're collecting $5.5 million in back wages just on violations of this tip policy, then that shows you that the system really is broken.
Sounds like we need a lot more inspectors. You could pay their wages out of the $5.5 million, and they'd probably collect a lot more than the cost of one of those undercover inspectors.
That's right. I mean, when you have more investigators collecting, you know, cracking down on these businesses that are bad actors, then that brings in more revenue for the government as well.
Now, you said since 2012, is DOL still doing these things, I hope?
They are. They're doing it. And in fact, they have a new director there, David Weil, who has actually done a lot of good work on this issue of workplaces not really paying their workers as much as they should be. And they've pioneered some new systems in terms of doing investigations so that they're being a little bit more targeted in the investigations that they're doing. And we've seen some big cases in the last few years. There was a story not too long ago that came out about a restaurant in Pennsylvania where not only were workers not getting the wages that they were owed, they weren't getting the tips that they were owed, but the business was actually dipping into the tip pool and taking a cut.
Yeah, speaking of dipping into the tip pool, and I've never understood this as a restaurant customer, I know that many times tips are pooled, and I've often wondered about that. On the one hand, I guess that's fairer to the waiter or waitress who's sent to get the gum underneath the tables, mm-hmm. who isn't actually waiting on people. On the other hand, I've often thought, well, you know, tips are supposed to reward the good ones and you know, the faster ones and the better waiters, the nicer ones.
Right.
But then this concern you raise, if they're pooled, what's to prevent the employer from dipping his or her hand into the pool?
Yeah, again, this is really an unregulated portion of the marketplace. It's kind of like a black box of pay where it's hard for the worker to know what they should be getting. It's hard for the employer to be keeping track of what workers are getting. And it's hard for the government to know when there's noncompliance with the law. And you actually raise another big point that isn't even addressed in our paper, is that there's this whole other group in restaurants that are tipped out of the tips that the waiters and bartenders are making. Think of
busboys,
bar backs, things like that. Now,
that doesn't make any sense.
Right. How do you,
because the busboys should just be paid minimum wage. They don't see customers. They you know, to ensure proper service or whatever tip stands for. The busboy isn't tipped based on service. Why can't they just pay the busboy minimum wage?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. And it also.
But they don't have to, even though they don't serve customers. There's no law requiring it.
No law requiring that the
busboy get the $7.25 minimum wage rather than the $2.13 minimum tipped wage.
Well, all the law says is that if an employee regularly and customarily receives $30 per month in tips.
But busboys don't get that.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the point is that it's such a low threshold that employers could say, oh, my busboy makes $30 a month, so I only have to pay him $2.13 an hour.
And presumably the busboy doesn't have a say in the matter, and if he or she did, he or she might not be might not have a job.
Well, that's the horrible position that the law puts them in. Is that...
So you were a server. If you want to know if you're making minimum wage, you'd have to collect. How would you even remember all? I mean, most people pay by credit card these days. It's not cash so much anymore. How do you even? Do you have to go after your shift and figure out which tables were yours and add it all up and spend another hour doing that?
Right, exactly. And again, the law is really not clear on this. All it says is that for any 168-hour period, which constitutes a work week. And I should note that workers in this industry have extremely erratic schedules, so it's hard to really know when their work week begins and when it ends. They would have to take that 160-hour work week, figure out what hours they worked in that time period, figure out all the tips that they earned, both from cash and credit cards. Doesn't say anything about how they treat the tips that they tip out to those busboys and barbacks. Figure out whether the tips that they got plus their base wage equaled at least the regular minimum wage. And if it didn't...
Minus $2.13 an hour.
Right, exactly. It would be on the worker to then go to their boss and say, hey, you didn't pay me enough.
And show them the calculations. And the boss is like, I don't want to go through all those calculations.
Right. I mean,
And then presumably that's the same boss that then decides what their schedule is, whether they get to work the busy Saturday night where all the good customers come in and tip heavy, or, you know, the Monday afternoon from 2 to 5 p.m. when you don't get that many people.
Yeah, exactly. That boss could say, you know, David there keeps complaining about that I'm not paying him enough. He's going to get Tuesday lunches for the rest of the month.
Is there any retaliatory? I know, like, for example, if someone complains about racial discrimination or gender or discrimination, if they complain and they're demoted, that's retaliatory discrimination. It's against the Civil Rights Act.
Yeah.
Is there any kind of protection in there in the labor code?
Well, again, this is all illegal. So in theory, the employee should be able to go to the Department of Labor, the Department of Justice, and file a claim. But again, it's really hard to prove just because it's really hard to enforce these laws.
And maybe the employer will say, yeah, I needed somebody on Tuesday's afternoons from 2 to 4 p.m. And, you know, it had nothing to do, of course, with David's constant carping about the 28 cents that I didn't pay him that last hour.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's also important to note that the vast majority of tipped workers are women. 2/3 of tip workers are women, 70% of servers and bartenders are women. So this puts women in a particularly tough situation.
And minorities, too, because minorities are very much that. Folks, have you ever been in this position? Do you tip well? What do you think? Should we raise the standard for tip wages up to the minimum wage level? I think so. Give me a call, 888-653-7543. I'll be right back with David Cooper right after this. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. You know, I often come on air and decry how low the minimum wage is. It's only $7.25 an hour. Obviously, many states have a much higher wage. I believe Seattle, Washington has $15 an hour, which seems like a reasonable living wage. In my home state of Virginia, we're at the federal minimum of $7.25, and that's way too low. Congress is always arguing whether to increase it. Democrats want to. Republicans don't. But what we're talking about now is less than $7.25 an hour, less than half that. The rate for tipped workers is only $2.13 an hour plus tips. It hasn't been raised since 1991, 24 years ago. By the way, in the decade before 1991, from 1981 to 1991, it was only $2.01. So it really, it's been very low for a very long period of time. My guess is $2 could get you probably a good plate of food in 1981. Today, you'd be lucky to get a cup of coffee. My guest is David Cooper. He's from the Economic Policy Institute. He is an economic expert. He's written an excellent paper on this that you can find at epi.org. Is that right, David?
That's right.
It's a really great paper, and I highly recommend you reading it. And David adds the additional experience of having been a former tipped worker himself. That's one job I never ever really wanted, I got to tell you.
You know, I think everyone should have to work in a restaurant or as a tipped worker at some point just so that they can understand how messed up this system is.
Well, and also I always thought about, you know, how hard it is just to deal with the customers. I mean, some customers, I'm sure, are very nice and very friendly and give good tips, and you certainly love them. But if someone's rude Or if you're a woman and they sexually harass you in a bar. I mean, I always thought about those waitresses at Hooters, right? I think how often sexual comments or, God forbid, touching, I mean, may well occur to those. And it's not like they can complain because they might not get a tip, which is most of their wages for the day.
Right. I mean, their pay is dependent upon whatever the customer feels like their pay should be. It's really too bad. And there have been studies that have looked at this that have found some crazy things, like the weather affects what people are paid.
A brighter day, a sunny day, you get more money.
Sunny day, you get more money.
Huh.
Even there are studies that have shown that tipping is discriminatory, that black servers will get lower tips despite the same quality of service provided and reported by the customer.
That's very interesting. One of the things you point out in your paper is the poverty rates.
Yeah.
Particularly, you can compare because this $2.13 an hour that I'm decrying that occurs in 18 states, mostly in the South, including my home state of Virginia, the majority of states pay much more. And in fact, in the West, they pay, you were telling me, I know Nevada is $8.25 an hour plus tips. In California, it's $9 an hour plus tips. And I've been out to California. I've been out to Las Vegas. I don't recall restaurant prices being any more expensive, certainly not that I noticed, than out here.
Well, certainly the restaurant industry is thriving in those places. I mean, in fact, the restaurant industry forecasts stronger growth in the states where tipped workers get the regular minimum wage than in the states where they get the low $2.13 minimum wage.
And that'd be true even in a state like Oregon that's not a prime tourist destination the way California and Nevada are?
Restaurants are doing fine in Oregon. They're doing fine in Washington State, in Minnesota, in Alaska, in Montana, all the states.
Yeah, Montana's not usually a prime tourist destination.
Well, I don't know. I'm sure Montana's very nice.
Yeah, it is. Yellowstone, go out there. So obviously, I'm sure restaurant owners in Virginia, and I don't mean to pick only on Virginia because obviously it's 18 states, and mostly in the South, say we can't afford to pay the minimum wage?
Well, again, what the data show is that restaurants are doing quite well in the states where workers are getting the regular minimum wage. There's really no difference whatsoever in employment growth between the states where employers are paying $2.13 an hour and the states where they're having to pay in Washington State, almost $9.50 an hour to tipped workers.
Plus tips.
Plus tips, exactly. So, I mean, the notion that this is going to destroy the restaurant industry is just ludicrous.
Now, what are the differences in poverty rates between tipped workers in, say, California and Washington State and those in, say, Virginia or Tennessee?
Yeah, I mean, this really gets to the core of the issue. When you look at poverty rates among tipped workers versus non-tipped workers, the poverty rate for tipped workers is essentially double the poverty rate of non-tipped workers. And if you look just at waiters, waitresses, and bartenders who make up the bulk of tipped workers, their poverty rate is more than double. They have a poverty rate of 15% roughly nationwide compared to a poverty rate for non-tipped workers of 6.5%, so much higher. But the important thing is that there's huge differences in these poverty rates between the states where workers are getting $2.13 per hour and the states where they're getting the regular minimum wage. In the states where they're getting the regular minimum wage, the poverty rate among waiters, waitresses, and bartenders is 8 percentage points lower. So it's 18% in poverty in the states where they get $2.13 per hour. It's only 10% in poverty in the states.
So it's not just the case that, well, people who are pretty poor and may not have other skills go into these professions, but there's a huge difference you can clearly tell between the states that pay them a minimum wage and those that don't.
Exactly. And one important thing to note is that overall poverty rates of workers is essentially the same in those two groups of states. So it's not that people in the West Coast states, all people just happen to have lower rates of poverty. It's specifically these tipped workers who have lower rates of poverty.
Now, employers would say, well, they get the difference. They get it in tips, mm-hmm. So it doesn't really matter, whether it's $2.13 plus tips or $7.25. They make that argument. How do you respond?
Well, two things. Number one, we know that in the states where they're getting the regular minimum wage plus tips, their overall base wage plus tips is bigger. It's about 20% bigger. Their take-home pay is 20% bigger. The other important piece is that having that solid base wage gives them greater stability in their income. And that really is the main issue here, is that workers who have to rely on tips for the bulk of their wage have no sense of stability in their income. They don't know what they're making week after week. So in those conditions, it's hard for folks to budget and plan. This is the thing that I like to point out to the folks who are really concerned about personal responsibility, about people pulling themselves up by their bootstraps. It's impossible to budget or plan if you don't know what your income is going to be week to week. How can you put yourself through school? How can you figure out if you can afford a car payment or rent if you can't budget what your income is going to be each month?
Another thing you put in your article for those who care about taxes and spending is how many more workers, tipped workers in these states with low tipped wage, minimum wages are on welfare, are actually causing the taxpayers to pay more. I mean, you know, if let's say you have zero compassion, you listening to my conservative callers? Let's say you have zero compassion and you're just trying to save money. You can pay maybe a little more in the restaurant, maybe not. We'll talk about that in a minute. But if you don't, you can end up paying in your taxes for welfare, right?
That's right. I mean, the about half of tipped workers have to rely on some form of public assistance. That's compared with about a third of workers that get a full wage that aren't tipped.
And so, have you compared the welfare rates in states like Virginia with states like California and Washington?
It's a little bit lower in the states where they're getting the regular minimum wage. It's not enough where an economist like me can say, oh, well, we definitely have a difference here, but it's a little bit lower.
Now, where did this whole thing begin? Why do we tip?
So that's interesting. The research on that isn't entirely clear. The history on it isn't entirely clear. We know that it comes a little bit from the aristocratic tradition in Europe, actually. But, you know, this whole notion of paying workers a separate lower wage is a totally new thing. That happened in the 1960s when the Fair Labor Standards Act, which is the act that governs the minimum wage, that established the minimum wage, it was extended to service workers in 1966. But when they made that extension, somehow the powers that be, the employers,
lobbied
and got this exemption put in where tipped workers or employers of tipped workers would only be required to pay half the full minimum wage to their tipped staff.
Now you say it comes from Europe, and yet I've been to Europe, and you go there, you pay the value added tax, and it's on everything. And people don't usually leave tips in Europe, but you do. People, the waiters are very appreciative, and it can be just a 5 euros would be a huge tip there because they don't expect it.
Well, that's the thing, is it came from Europe as something extra on top of a base pay, just as an acknowledgement of gratitude, as a way of saying, you did a particularly good job, so I'm going to give you a little something extra. It was here in the United States in the 1960s where someone made it a system where this is going to become a part of a worker's ordinary pay.
And I don't know that most people realize it. I don't know if you've done public opinion surveys. I think most people think that workers get at least a minimum wage plus tips, as they apparently do in a few Western states. I don't think most people realize that if you don't tip your server or your taxi driver or whomever, that's not their minimum wage. They might not even get minimum wage.
That's their pay. That's
right.
Their paycheck. When I was working as a server, we'd go up to get our paycheck at the end of the week, and they just hand us a piece of paper that said void on it, because the $2.13 an hour would just go to cover our taxes.
Yeah, and I've actually heard from waiters who say it doesn't cover the taxes.
Yeah, in a lot of cases it doesn't.
That because
right.
They're going to charge you Social Security, which, you know, programs I support, but Social Security and Medicare and federal income withholding tax,
right,
based on what they think is your tipped wage.
Yeah.
Your $2.13 can't even cover it. And some of the waiters were telling me that at the end of the year, April 15th, they got to pay extra because they can't withhold enough because they don't make enough to withhold enough to pay their taxes.
Yeah, that's right. It's really disheartening to pick up a paycheck that says void on it.
Yeah, or disheartening to find that, unlike most employees, you don't get a refund at come April 15th.
Right.
You've got to pay a little bit more. Now, the restaurant industry still exists. It's still thriving. Mm-hmm. Despite this policy, there's, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands, probably millions of restaurants in the United States. I don't know. A heck of a lot. I wouldn't want to try to count them all. And this is something where you don't have to have much skill. You go, you take an order, and, maybe flash a nice smile, but that, you know, and try to be quick about it. This is a lot of people's first jobs, I suppose.
In some cases, yes, but there's actually a lot of folks that this isn't their first job. This is a job that they've had for years or that they've had to take because, for example, in a big recession like we just had, they may lose their regular job, and the only thing they could find is work at a restaurant like this. We know that the majority of tipped workers are over the age of 25. So it's not just young
folks.
It's only about 13% that are teenagers. But there are a good number of young people, too. But we also know that, again, most of these workers are women, and about a third of them have children. So even if they are young, a lot of them are caring for families.
A third of them have children.
This is income that they really
rely on. And you said a majority over 25.
That's right. Yeah, about 64%
are over 64%. 25. So almost two-thirds are over 25. Folks, if you want to call in, the toll-free number is 888-653-7543. We'll be right back with economist David Cooper of the Economic Policy Institute right after this. Welcome back to The Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. My guest is David Cooper. He's an economic analyst at the Economic Policy Institute in Washington, D.C., and a former tipped worker himself. His published study is right now on my website. Just go to marklevinetalk.com. Right now it's on the front page. If you hear this show later in time, as many of you do on podcasts or whatever, just look for the post entitled $2.13 an hour, because that's all you get if you are a tipped worker. $2.13 an hour. When I park in on Washington, D.C., or even in Northern Virginia, a lot of times it costs me $4 an hour just to park at the meters, which is the cheaper way of parking, because you don't have to park in the take the metro. Take the metro. It could be easily $3.25 to get into work, and I guess you have to work an hour and a half to pay for your metro charge. You work another an hour and a half to pay for your metro charge on the way home, and that's the cheapest way of getting in. God forbid if you really live in the suburbs. This is crazy low. It has been this rate since 1991. And David Cooper is one of the few people in the country, he was telling me, that's ever looked at this study. You know, I have an economics degree. What are economists doing? Why aren't they looking at this information, David?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of people just didn't know that this problem existed.
How could they not know? We got how many millions of waiters do we have across the country?
Well, there's about wait staff, 2.6 million waiters, waitresses, and bartenders. That number may have gone up just last time. You know, we did this. We put the study out about a year ago, so the numbers might be a little outdated. And frankly, employment growth in the restaurant industry has been very good since 1990. The full-service restaurants employment has grown by, I think, 84% compared with only 25% of the workforce overall. So the restaurant business is booming.
So we need to get labor economists out more. Maybe you folks don't eat in restaurants enough. You're too busy eating at your desks all the time.
Well, the other thing, too, is that economists go where the data is, and it's hard to find good data on tipped workers.
Let me ask you just about tipped workers. So sure. When I think of tipped workers, I think of a restaurant where I sit at a table and they serve me. But if I go to Subway or McDonald's or, most of the places, they've got a tip jar, but not too many people put stuff in the tip jar. Normally, when you go and you get the food yourself, you just pay for it. Are they getting minimum wage, or can they get then stuck in this tip morass as well?
Again, it's hard to know because the law is so ambiguous. The law says if a person customarily gets $30 a month in tips.
Well, there might be $30 in that tip jar in a month.
There might be, in which case their employer could legally pay them $2.13 an hour. And that actually is part of the, that raises the red flag for me when you see companies encouraging more people to tip. Because in some ways they're saying, well, gosh, if we could get more people tipping our workers, we might be able to start lowering their base wage.
So actually, a tip could actually harm a worker. That's pretty scary.
Hopefully not, but hopefully it's possible. Not.
So the restaurant costs. Have you ever done any studies to see where you've got a state that used to be $2.13 an hour, they went up to the minimum wage? And because I'm wondering whether those restaurants pass the cost through to their customer, whether those restaurants are more expensive. You know those employers are going to argue that. Is there any economic data to prove that one way or the other?
So there isn't much. There was a study that was done very recently, actually, that's looking at what happened in San Jose restaurants. A researcher by the name of Sylvia Allegretto. She's at the University of California at Berkeley. And she's been tracking what happened at restaurants in San Jose when the San Jose minimum wage went up a lot. And you have to remember that in California, tipped workers are getting the regular minimum wage plus tips.
They get $9 plus tips before San Jose added.
That's right. And San Jose went higher than that. I don't remember exactly what it is now, but they went even higher. And she's looked at this, and she found that prices went up very modestly. that, you know, you may have to spend, you know, an extra, 50 cents on a hamburger. Not something that's going to break the bank for anyone that's going out to eat.
Now, one of the things you point out in your paper is that workers, unlike in more standard industries and non-tip wage industries, where you get so many days sick leave off and so many days vacation and so forth, that in these industries, they virtually never get sick leave. They virtually never get health care. And so given that people are paid by tips, there's actually an incentive to work when you're sick.
Yeah, that's the thing that's crazy about this. If you think about it, the person who is serving you food in a restaurant does not get paid time off to stay home and get healthy. And because their wages are dependent upon the tips that they receive, the incentive is for them to continue to work sick on the shifts when they're going to interact with the most number of customers.
Because they get more tips that way.
Because they get more tips. And maybe take time off when on a slower shift when they wouldn't interact with as many people, if they can afford to take time off at all.
Which would mean that if they're sick and if their disease is communicable, this is an incentive to spread disease.
Yeah, from a public health perspective, the tipping system is awful.
Because, you know, you could miss that Tuesday afternoon, but you can't miss Saturday night.
Yeah, you're going to interact with a lot of people and you know, maybe make more money, but also potentially spread your communicable disease.
So next time you get sick eating food in a restaurant, just remember. So you were talking about how this happened. Until 1966, did tip workers get the same minimum wage as everyone else, or they just weren't included in the system?
Well, they just weren't really in the system. They weren't even governed by the Fair Labor Standards Act, the minimum wage law.
So at 66, they got, I think it was half, right? 50% of the minimum wage?
That's right. So the law was changed so that you had a regular minimum wage, and if you got tips, the employer had to pay at least 50% of that regular minimum wage. And that's the way it was for most, you know, for the next few decades. It kind of moved around a little bit. In the 80s, actually, at one point, it was up to as high as 70% of the regular minimum wage.
Back when it was $2.01.
Exactly.
The minimum wage was under $3 or
right.
so.
Right. And then in the early 90s, in 1991, the full minimum wage was $4.25 an hour, which made the tip minimum wage, 50% of that, made it $2.13 an hour. But then, you know, when Congress negotiated to raise the regular minimum wage up from $4.25 up to $5.15, this was in 1996, the Restaurant Association, headed by the now famous Herman Cain, of 999 fame, what originally put Herman Cain on the map was negotiated this provision in the law that locked the tip minimum wage in at $2.13 an hour. So rather than being a percentage of the regular minimum wage, it was forever set at $2.13 an hour.
This is the new Newt Gingrich Congress of the 1990s.
Yeah.
And so $2.13, that's like 25% instead of 50%.
29%.
29%.
Right now, so.
And it's dropping because even when they're talking, even when they've been raising the minimum wage, I don't know how many times they've raised it since 1991, but it's been a few times.
Just a couple.
Just two times. Five or six? No?
It went up in 95, 96, and then it went up in 2007, 2008, 2009.
Right. Right. So, but in any case, they didn't raise the tipped wage. Why not?
Again, this link was broken. Herman Cain succeeded. He locked it in at 213, and so even as the regular minimum wage has gone up, that tip minimum wage has stayed stuck at 213.
I tell you, we're almost out of time, but really quick, I want to get Tamara in Joplin, Missouri on line 5. Hey, Tamara, how are you? I'm sorry we only got like 30 seconds, but make your point real quick.
Well, I don't understand it, because 35 years ago in Tucson, Arizona, I was making $10 an hour as a bartender. And at the end of the night, I would give my bar back a $2 for bringing my glasses back. And my mom and dad owned bars from the time I was 13, and they always paid their bartenders and waitresses $10.
I tell you what, Tamara, I am so sorry because we've run out of time. But if you want to call in tomorrow between 3 and 4 p.m., the same time, I'll give you more time on the air. David Cooper, has been a terrific interview. We just don't have enough time to discuss it, but hopefully we can do something about it. This is Mark Levine. I'll be back tomorrow.